Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Reach us on Twitter, at the GD Podcast, and you can shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I put a bow on the NHL and NBA seasons. We'll do our monthly MLB check-in. Mike will talk about some recent beer experiences he's had in Mike's Beer Blast, and then he'll give us his review on the season premiere of True Blood. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This will probably be an abbreviated one for us because we got a ball game to catch.
Yeah, we do. I'm pretty excited. Strasburg pitching tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be down in Nats Park this afternoon, so that should be good.
And is it supposed to cool off at all? It's kind of hot.
It is warm, yeah. So hopefully it does. Hopefully the rain holds off, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain, too, but it's always a fun experience. The stadium's a little vanilla, but, you know, it's still cool to go watch a ball game.
Absolutely. And I was afraid it was going to rain last night just because I was afraid if it rained and, you know, they'd probably push their rotation back so we'd miss Strasburg. So luckily they got the game in yesterday and wanted to see, the chosen pitcher there. So that'll be good.
How would you rank your kind of experience of going to a Nats game compared to other ballparks? I know you've been to a bunch.
I like since it's been different. Like when I first I moved down here when they weren't very good.
Yeah,
it was more of a lackluster.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, especially when it was or RFK, right? When I first.
Yeah, there was an old stadium, but I mean more as now is just like the stadium as an overall comparatively as a ballpark. You know, the food offerings.
I do like Nats Park. I love the good food offerings. Yeah, they have different options. You know, I feel just a break from the regular hot dogs and sausages and stuff. You know, they got the Ben's Chili Bowl and Hard Times, I think, are both there.
Yeah.
Which are both very good. So, I like the food a lot there. I know they've gone good. It's a really good, I think, good atmosphere. That helps.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. I like it too, but, you can't put on a level of, an old Yankee Stadium or the Orioles Park.
I agree. Yeah, that's I always felt that's one of the nicest
ones. There's
some
classic parks there. So, and it's part of it. It's new.
Yes.
But I even think the design, it's just kind of, like I said, vanilla, pretty generic.
It is. Yeah, it's like your regular, standard ballpark. But they definitely needed a new place to play. I definitely wouldn't put it up there with like Camden Yards or Yankee Stadium, but it is a good place to catch a ball game. They just need now to just keep building stuff around it, I think, to give it a good pregame atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, Yankee Stadium, there's bars across the street and then, and then there's places to go before Orioles games as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That definitely adds to the experience. So we'll get into the Major League Baseball, but first we'll start off with a little bit of hockey. I guess our last major hockey conversation until October. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup in Game 6. That was some ending, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. I only got to catch like probably halfway through the third period, but it was really, really cool to watch. And, it's something you probably could have expected. I mean, it could have ended in Game 6, it could have ended in Game 7.
Yeah.
They're both really good teams. It just seemed like Boston had a little bit of a breakdown there at the end. They got a couple, Chicago got a couple good bounces, too. So when you get those puck deflections, a lot of times if the goalie's masked, there's nothing you can really do.
Yeah, and the way Rask was playing, that was the only way they were going to score goals, was just like in those, shot from the point, get the puck in, and just try to scramble because he was playing so well.
Yeah.
It was just such a weird, seesaw of emotions because, it's 2-1. A lot of times you pull the goal, but you don't score. So you're thinking, all right, we're going to Game 7. And then when the Blackhawks did score, it's like, okay, we're going to have overtime.
Yeah.
And then they come right back down. And it was funny because Mike Emmerich said, we're about 60 seconds from another overtime. But he said, we're not there yet. And then 2 seconds later, I felt Chicago scored.
Can you imagine the thoughts that are going through the Bruins guys' minds?
Oh, no.
I mean, it had to be horrible.
Yeah.
Such high and lows and such a sort. I mean, what would you say, the minute and a half is when it all started?
Yeah. Yep.
Minute and a half left, and you go through some highs and some lows. And, I always thought it was funky, too. It kind of sucks when the team that wins the cup is in the away stadium.
Yeah.
It's not
as fun.
It's just an awkward experience.
It is, yeah.
I felt bad. You feel bad. All the Bruins fans, they're just sitting there so bitter, and then you got the opposing team cheering on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird, and the Blackhawks are celebrating, and be here, let's go Bruins chant.
Yeah, exactly. But, on the flip side, you know, be able to play at your home stadium, whereas, you know, the NFL plays,
yeah,
you know, at a destination place.
Exactly.
Yeah. To keep it neutral, that's no big deal to me. You know, the advantage of having a home series or way outweighs the having the opposing team win the cup on your ice.
Yeah, definitely. And I also got a kick out of just them just booing Gary Bettman mercilessly.
Yep. Tore him apart.
Yeah, he's just the one. I think he's the. It's tough with Goodell, but I think he might be the most disliked commissioner amongst like that group of fans. Yeah. I feel, you know.
Yeah, and I read a poll too, and Goodell maybe by the public, but you know it was almost like a 50-50. The players actually. You know, some of them like him a lot, too.
Yeah.
So, there's varying differences between the players and the public, too. But, you know, everyone hates him, so.
Yeah. I think just another lockout. And even though it was both sides were at fault, but he's the one who takes the brunt because he's the face of the,
that's your job.
Face of the league. Yep, you got to take it. Yep. You get paid well to, take that punishment.
Yeah, but overall, I thought it was one of the more, memorable series. I think it was a fitting end.
Yes.
To the series, they battled it out, other than the one game that Boston won 2-0.
Yeah.
All the other games were really entertaining.
They were.
And it just goes to show, I just don't understand how you butt up a sport like that to the NBA.
Sure, yeah.
And not everyone is just tuning into hockey, but people are still watching the NBA.
Yeah.
You compare those two games, I mean, they're just, the hockey is so much more exhilarating to watch.
Oh, yeah, it's up and down the ice, it's fast-paced, the brute physicality and everything that. Yeah, I'm surprised, too, because, I was watching, the Heat series, and, I'm on Twitter, and it's, people from all walks of life are commenting, but then when I'm on Twitter on a hockey game, it's just, the hockey people I follow, it's very interesting, But, yeah, I agree with that. I thought it was a great series, probably one of the better series that didn't go 7 games that I can think of in recent memory.
Yeah.
It was really good, and it was weird, though, because I felt like once Boston went up 2-1, I thought they really had control of the series. Next thing you know, Chicago just comes in and wins the next
and
3.
We both said that. We thought Boston could have it on lockdown, but... You know, you look back at it, and they're both a really good team. So, wasn't unexpected either.
No, and it was just impressive to see Chicago kind of shake that President's Trophy weight. I think that hurts a lot of teams. So
they did it, man.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see next year when they have to play the Eastern Conference during the season next. Because they'll be back to regular schedule. Because this year they just basically just it was all. You played your own conference.
The Caps will win the President's Cup trophy and go out in the first round. That's what happened.
Oh man, you never can tell.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how they fare once they have to play, both sides of the aisle next year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
And then just the other hockey thing, I saw Tortorella got hired in Vancouver. Like I said last week, or we talked about it off air actually, that the Canucks and Rangers might as well just had a trade because they basically just swapped coaches.
That's pretty interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's two things. One is, because I want to talk, you could probably talk to this too, is that Tortorella is more of a defensive minded coach going to Vancouver, who I feel has played more two way or more offensive hockey.
At least two way, if not more offensive.
Yeah, and you watched last year Dale Hunter, defensive guy, take over a team that is more offensive minded. So I'm curious to see how that meshes, because it took the Caps a little while to kind of adjust to that last season.
Yeah, it's putting a square peg in a round hole. I don't know how it reacts. I mean, if you got the players that are responsive, it's always shown that in the playoff defense really does help you out.
Sure does. Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it's all up to, how he meshes with the players. And, the other thing we said is he's a pretty forceful guy, doesn't take any crap.
And exactly,
It's more you jump on ship or else you're in trouble.
Yep.
So he's definitely probably not a player's coach. And instilling a brand new scheme if you're not a player's coach is probably a pretty difficult task.
I think so. So I'm curious to see how he meshes with the players. I saw he talked about, he said he probably needs to probably change his ways a little bit. So
yeah.
I'm sure he probably recognizes that. And then the other thing I'm curious to see is the media.
Yeah.
Because you saw, I'm sure you've seen bits of his interviews with the New York media.
Oh, man.
Now he's going to Vancouver where they eat, sleep, and breathe hockey.
Yep.
New York, there's so many different sports going on.
Yep.
But Vancouver, I mean, mean, they're going to...
You know, having the comments, like you said, that, you know, he thinks he might have to change his ways, maybe this will be a rebirth of him. Never know. It's a new opportunity in a hockey-crazed market. And maybe he understands, like, hey, I know I'm a good coach, but it doesn't work. And, you know, it works for some guys.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But he's just going to have to feel it out there in the beginning. Yep. But hopefully he's a little better with the media.
Yeah, because like I said, it's just going to be a different animal as far as how much they take hockey seriously.
Yeah, I don't think they'll take no answers. They're going
to
want something.
Yeah, you're going to have to expand on that.
Exactly.
So that's going to be fun to see. I'll have to make sure I keep my eye on Vancouver press conferences next year to see if he's true to his word about, you know, softening up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other league that recently ended was the NBA. You know, the Heat won back-to-back titles, and they've been to the finals 2 years in a row. And I feel like whenever a team wins two in a row, that D-word, dynasty, gets thrown around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're – it's funny, though, because even though they won, people wondering, oh, what are they going to do? They should they trade Chris Bosh?
Yeah.
I've never seen a team that's been the champion 3 years in a row and win two be so scrutinized about what changes they need to make.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really weird.
I mean, Bosh didn't supposedly have a great year towards the end, and Dwayne Wade's getting older. But LeBron James is amazing.
Yeah, if they can just continue to build around him, I think they have a shot. But it's just funny that you start thinking dynasty. But for me, I feel a team, whatever sport, I think at least got to win at least three in a row before you can start thinking about a dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, the recent dynasty that I think of is the Patriots when they were winning all the Super Bowls.
Yeah, they went 3 out of 4, I think it was.
I totally agree.
Yeah, because it's, I think, just as sports, at least most sports are trying to become, have more parity, so you don't see as many repeat champions in sports anymore. So, especially in football, it's really tough to build a dynasty because of the salary cap and stuff. Like, I mean, the Ravens are learning that the hard way after winning this year.
But it's surprisingly, they're consistently at least making the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how they do it.
That's an accomplishment.
They seem, you know, every year in the beginning, it's doom and gloom for that team.
Yep.
And they somehow pull it through, man.
Yep, it's true. I just think, I think it's NFL especially, that's the key, is just getting yourself in a position to make the playoffs as often as they do. And then after that, it's just, you know, let's see what happens.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a testament to them. I think with the Heat or any team in general, I think if you have, you know, it helps if you have the best player in the game.
Yep.
Because they can just, you know, continue to build around him. Although I think LeBron has an opt out after this year, so I'm curious to see if the Heat. I'm sure that he will want to try to extend his contract, but I think he's a guy who likes having options, and I think he likes the idea that he can kind of pick and choose after next season. If he feels that they have that dynasty in place, he'll probably re-sign with them. But I don't think he wants to overcommit until he sees what the team.
Yeah, so you. But if he, you know, keeps this pattern up of when he has a chance to jump ship to go to a better option, do you think that's going to taint his legacy?
It could a little bit. Because I know some people feel he has an asterisk now because he had to leave Cleveland to win a chance. He had to join with Dwayne Wade.
And then if he does it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people think, oh, he just, when the going gets tough, he leaves. I can see people looking at it that way. Which is kind of a tough stigma to have.
But if he ends up winning 6 or 7 over his entire career, I mean, you still got to give the guy credit.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah, I mean, just, you know, the numbers he's putting up, and at times, you know, even with the star power he had with Wade and Bosh, he carried that team on his back a lot. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm sure
and he played well in the last game too.
He did. Yes, he did. I think it was when they were up by 2, and he had an outside jump shot, and he made it. You know, I mean, he missed that shot. You know, they could have easily tied the game. So that was because I remember when his first run of Heat, when they lost in the finals, he got accused of he would have passed up that shot for some reason.
He just did it.
Yeah, he did it this time. So I think he's finally. I think winning that championship last year kind of gave him that confidence, like, you know, he's ready to be the guy. So I think they need to win one more before that people can start, you know, wondering about
his
dynasty.
And he's still pretty young, right? How old is he?
28.
28?
Yeah, it's where he's been in the league 10 years, but he came out when he was 18, so.
What's the, I mean, Kobe's, what, how old is he?
He's in his mid-30s now, I think. 35 or so. Yeah.
So is that about the time most players wear out, about mid-30s?
I think so. It also depends on, you know, a guy like Kobe who's played on, Lakers always make the playoffs, so there's a lot more mileage. Yeah, and then he's played on Olympic teams, so a lot of times with basketball, it's about not so much the years.
And he's been playing since he's like 19 or something, yeah, right? Professionally.
Yeah, because he came like LeBron really out of high school. Yeah. Yep.
So
that's sometimes it's not even about the years you play, your age, it's the mileage you've put on. And
he's logged
a lot of miles. So yeah, so we'll see if they can three-peat, because it's been a while since we've seen that.
Yep.
So that'll be good, since I think the Lakers, in the early 2000s. And then we look ahead to, we do our monthly baseball check-in.
Yeah.
We figure, I think it's perfect, just because baseball is such an everyday sport. I feel like you can't take a team's temperature week to week or day to day. I think a month is like a good phrase. And like we mentioned, we're going to see the Nats today, and a game above 500, I think, right now. Yeah, they're one game above 500, which I think they were expecting a little bit to be doing a little bit better now.
Pretty disappointing for them, I think.
Yeah, I know they've had some injuries. I didn't know. It's funny with Bryce Harper, he seems like such a durable guy, and he's so young, but he's had a couple stints now on the DL, but I think he's rehabbing, so I think he's probably pretty close.
Yeah, I think he's close, but. Yeah, if it keeps on happening, you're gonna have to start wondering.
Yeah.
But he ran into the wall, and some of the decisions were self-inflicted too.
Oh so, yeah.
And he's still so young.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So as long as he smartens up over time, he should be good.
Yeah, I think so too. He just he's young, and I know when we were A lot of people were, you're 18, 19, you think you're invincible.
Yep. You think you can do anything, you'll never get hurt.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think he's learning it the hard way.
Yes, yeah, he's learning he can get hurt, especially when you run into the wall, at full speed. But, they're 5 games out, so, we're not even at the All-Star break yet, so if they can get him back healthy, and I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be in, if not the division, they'll be in, wild card contention for the duration of the summer, would be my guess.
Yeah. So, and they beat Arizona. That's a good win for them.
They just need right now. It's just about keeping pace with the Braves. They're 5 out now. You don't want to get any further back than that, I don't think.
So, what do you think about the Yanks and the O's?
Well, it's funny. The Orioles, they made the playoffs last year. Took the Yankees to 5 games. I thought it was kind of a 1 year wonder for them.
Yeah,
but they're right back. They're. That even with the Yankees, and I just don't think they're going away. They got a good young nucleus.
Now I live in Baltimore. I hear a lot of O's stuff, and they're just saying Machado. They expected him to be great, but he's been playing great this year.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Davis is out of his mind. I think he's still leading the home run.
Yeah.
And he's just batting, well above 300.
Yeah, if I have a printout, I was wondering about him because I think he's a legit MVP candidate now. He's already driven in 73 runs. He's batting 330.
Yeah.
So he has a chance.
And he's hitting bombs when it matters, too.
Yes, that's
games are on the line. And he's just cranking out bombs. So, yeah, we'll probably might get the dreadful home run derby election this year. I don't know what'll happen.
But they're good, man. They like I said, they just I thought that they would fall back to earth a little bit this season, and it hasn't happened yet. And
they just got a solid lineup, and their offense is good, and they were rattling off there. They kind of fell off lately. I think they've lost 5 of 6, but for a stretch there, they wouldn't hit for 6 or 7 innings, and they'd be down 1-3 or 1-4.
Yep.
And it didn't matter because you knew that they were going to come back there in the last couple innings and probably win the game.
Yeah, when you have an offense like that, if you're within 4 runs, you still have a shot.
Yeah, and it was happening time and time again. And then there's a lot of games like in the last couple. I think last night they were down a couple runs, went up in the 8th inning, 3-2, ended up losing 4-3 in the 9th.
Yeah.
But those are the games that you should win, too. So you add the should wins in there, and they would have a really good record.
Yes, yeah, because I know last year, I think they played a lot of one-run games and won most of them, so they got to
find,
if they can do that, they'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I think they're legitimate.
Yeah.
I know they're one-star pitching prospect, Hardy, I forget the guy's name, has to have Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
That's going to set them back a little bit. But yeah, they're always fun to go. I love going to the stadium and watching them play.
Yeah, it's a fun ballpark. I might try to go Saturday because the Yankees are in town. So I might
big
try
old
to,
Yankees game?
Yeah. So that should be. Yeah,
does it start Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a big series because they said they're neck and neck, so someone could try to gain some ground on the other.
Maybe they'll bid off some Friday night tickets. You should come up.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it'd be good if they're, if that's available. And then you asked about the Yankees. It's funny. They're hanging in despite all the injuries. So I think someone said they have more payroll on the DL than some teams have total that's actually on the field.
Yeah.
And so many guys hurt. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Found out yesterday Teixeira's out for the season. He's going to have season-ending surgery. Oh. So that's a bummer. So I know the question would be if they're going to try to go out and get a first baseman or just keep the guy they have backing him up, Overbay, who's actually put up decent numbers.
Doing okay.
He's doing okay. And I just don't think – the Yankees don't want to add any payroll that will go on to next year. So they're trying to get underneath that 189 luxury tax. It's not really a salary cap, but basically there's incentives to stay underneath that number.
Yeah.
So between him hurt and, Jeter hasn't come back yet, A-Rod's close. But, he's getting closer, but he's still out. And then Granderson, he was up for a cup of coffee before he got his finger broken again. So
unbelievable.
And the fact that they're only, they're right there 3.5 games behind Boston is really impressive.
It's exceeded your expectations.
Yeah. Because like I said, I picked the over with it. I think it was 86 was their over-under number, and they're about halfway there. They've won 42 games, so they're getting close. So, yeah, if Jeter and A-Rod come back and they can give them, a fraction of what they've done in the past, they should be able to stay in contention.
Yeah.
Stay in contention all year. But it's real. I mean, that division is, I'm looking at it now, every team.
It's impressive.
Even Toronto now, they won, I think, 11 out of the last 12, so even they're above 500.
Yeah,
so
they really shot themselves in the foot in the beginning, but yes. It seems like they're making a resurgence here.
Yeah, so, when every team's above 500, you're playing in a pretty darn good
and
division.
And Toronto loaded over the offseason, right?
They did, yeah.
They got a ton of talent, yeah. So, yeah, that whole division is pretty tough.
Yeah, so, Boston's had a good year, but they haven't run away from anything yet just because everyone else behind them is playing pretty good ball too.
Yeah, but easily both wild cards could come from that division.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think right now the Yankees and Baltimore are neck and neck.
Yep. So it's going to be we're almost at All Star breaks in a few weeks actually. So
It's Oakland, Yankees, and then Baltimore.
Yep.
So they're all right there, and then Tampa Bay's only a couple spots back. So yeah, it's a heck of a division.
That's why. Yeah, Toronto really helped themselves with that 11-game winning streak. But yeah, you can't fall off, a couple games. It's almost like the hockey season with the shortened season. You couldn't afford a big losing streak because everyone's so compacted. You'll fall right back to the bottom.
Yep.
And it's been a competitive year. And you mentioned Oakland. They impressed me with what they, 'cause they have like no payroll either.
Nope.
And they just find a way to hang in there. I mean, they won made the plus last year, and then this year, they're dead even with Texas.
Yeah.
So I just I think people always say that. Complain about the Yankees and Red Sox spending too much money, but teams proven that you don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, I was looking at the O's roster for these stats, and Chris Davidson's making like $3.3 million.
Yeah.
And Machado's making like $495,000.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you have the right guys in your farm system,
they're both going to get some huge contracts.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yeah. They will get paid when the time has come.
Yeah. That's how long can you keep that together?
That's what's tough. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because teams will be wanting to pull them away. So, yeah, it's been a...
And even that's Pittsburgh's MO, right? They just get the greatest talent in the world and then farm them off and shop them off.
Yeah, they get all.
And they're actually playing pretty good this year, too.
Yeah, they're dead heat with St. Louis, who are top of their division.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them, because, I forget how long it's been. I think since, the early 90s, they've had a losing record, every year.
Yeah, and I always hear people raving about their park and just the whole sports complex they have up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was up there about a month ago, and it seemed like a really cool city. I'm going to go up there. My little stepbrother lives up there, so love to go up and visit him and experience a game.
Yeah, that would be good. I've yet to go to that one, too, and I've heard the same things about their ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would be nice for that city if they can, make, if not make the playoffs, at least have a winning record. And I know baseball fans, all you ask for, I always say, is meaningful games in September.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll check back in another 30 days and see how all these teams are doing. But, so far so good for the baseball season.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game today.
So we take a look at the Pop Culture Corner, and it was the season premiere, right, of True Blood last week?
Yes. season premiere last week. They just showed that. I haven't caught the second episode yet.
Okay.
And I actually was really excited for the season premiere because I feel like the show hasn't been on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down to watch it live, and they started recapping the last season. And towards the end, I'm like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, it's tough. So it's tough with cable shows.
Yeah, I actually missed the last two or three episodes of the previous season, so I watched them first. And Bill Compton, the main character, kind of goes off the deep end and like bites on the basically the vampire Bible.
Oh wow!
And is seeing visions of Lilith, which is their god. And completely does a 180. You know, he's usually the nice guy, wants to save the humans. And he drinks, like, Lilith's blood and just turns into this crazy vampire demon.
Oh, goodness.
And you thought he was just going to start killing everybody. But so after the first episode, he finally, like, came back to his normal form. He was in this, like, just covered in blood kind of demon-looking character. He's back to his normal form, and he seems like he's nice, but, you know, there's something up, so it'll be interesting. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens, how his character evolves this season, because he keeps on getting visions of the Lilith, the vampire god, and he knows he's the most powerful vampire probably on Earth right now, but he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and he has a... The girl that he turned into a vampire, he has her there with him to make sure that he doesn't let the power get to his head and, you know, start killing people and going crazy. So it'll be cool. And then they have, I don't know, the whole... And that's why I think I didn't watch the last two or three seasons. I felt like, you know, the first couple seasons of this show were great. The storytelling was good, and it was really about vampires.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And then they started adding all, you know, werewolves and fairies, and it was like witches, you know, everything, supernatural person you could think of into the storyline, and I think it just got a little too chaotic and over the top. And it's still pretty over the top, but hopefully they tone it down a little bit more and just concentrate more on the characters and not trying to introduce some crazy new storyline just to, you know, make it go completely over the top like it has been.
Sure. That's what I had heard about the show, that yeah, the first few seasons were good and then it kind of fell off the rails a little bit. Did you feel from the premiere that they're trying to reel it back in?
Yeah, I think so. And that you're finally getting the story of Sookie and... you know, the supposedly vampires killed her parents, and, you know, you're going to find out who this guy is eventually. I think that just the whole fairy scene, like, they were going to this different dimension, and it was Happy Land, and people were dancing and singing, and it was just, it was so completely off, because, you know, the whole series has mainly been dark and about vampires, yeah, and bloody and all that stuff, so it threw it off a little bit. And I knew, I think it was the beginning of the third or fourth season, like the first episode started off with this crazy fairy battle, and after that it always had like scarred me, and then like, all right, this is definitely taking a turn in a direction I never thought it would go. And ever since then, I've just kind of been lukewarm on it.
I understand, yeah. It's tough when you're used to, you know, a show going a certain way when it's always good for a little bit of change, but to go that far on the other side, I'd be thrown off.
Yeah, and
that's
when they launched into the werewolves and the witches and the werepanthers and a bunch of other stuff. So it should be interesting. It seems tamer than the last couple seasons.
Okay.
And I think they're going to really concentrate more on the character and evolving the storyline more, opposed to just adding a whole new crazy storyline. I guess they thought that would spice it up and keep it interesting.
Okay, yeah.
But I think that inevitably detracted from, you know, making it interesting. And so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, sometimes less is more when it comes to that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And then again, in a few weeks, they'll have a solid 1-2 punch when the newsroom comes back on Sunday nights.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. Good. I like how they cover, I mean, they're behind, but yeah. I like how they're doing current events too. So they're doing real life scenarios.
Yeah, they're not just making up news stories.
They're just not making up news stories, and I think it's cool. And it looks like, I mean, we pretty much all last season was in the newsroom.
Yes.
You know, so it looked like I saw a couple episodes. They might go outside the newsroom and do some stories and kind of a different scenery, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, because one thing I thought I saw, I saw like a preview, and I think Jim, I guess after, you know, because I think Don and Maggie stay together, so I think he decides to get away. He joins the, works for the Romney campaign, I think.
Yeah, I think that, so that gets him outside the newsroom, which I think it could be a cool element.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. I think they need a different environment. It was getting stale towards the end, but the stories were riveting, and that's kind of what kept it interesting.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it's back to 14. So, yeah, it'll be a good, like I said, solid 1-2 punch with True Blood and the newsroom. HBO, they do a good job with their programming.
Yeah, and I just started The Killing, too. I really like this show. And after watching this show, it seems like every episode they're doing a real job, good job with the cliffhangers. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how did I watch 2 seasons of one murder before?
That's crazy, yeah.
You know? So now that they're doing one big case each season, I think that was a great move. And I've even Holder is the main lady's sidekick, and I actually didn't like his character at first, and I've grown to like him a lot. I think he's just a cool character. But the main star, she's just kind of bland and not really that interesting.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only hit to the show, is their lead star is just kind of blah.
That's
but,
weird.
But, the story, I always like the crime investigation stuff, and the storylines are good, and I think they do a good job of keeping you on your feet and surprised.
Good, yeah, because that's AMC, I believe, right?
Yep.
I see promo, that's right, when I watch Mad Men, I see promos for The Killing.
So. Yeah, and then Breaking Bad's coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm so bitter because I stopped watching it about the 3rd season. I need to find a place to stream it for free, preferably. And I can't find a place yet, so I don't know if Netflix or Amazon Prime does it. I'm not sure. But everyone says the last couple seasons of that show have been just unbelievable.
Fantastic, too. That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you know how Mike can get that, shoot him an email. Or you can just tweet us, at the GD Podcast. Let us know. Because, that's the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
If you can just find a way to stream it and just, bang out the episodes.
Did you talk about Mad Men last time?
I don't think you did. No, because, this past Sunday was the finale. A couple days ago. So another – some people were kind of disappointed by the season. Was kind of – I think that was a little darker, and also not much change. But to me, I thought that was the point of the season, was that these characters, the more things change, the more they stay the same. These characters are kind of in a rut almost, like they're always going to return to their true selves.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of the point of it.
Yeah. So did you enjoy it?
I did. I thought it was good. It's just such a well-written show.
Yeah.
And the storylines are good, and they and the finale I thought was just had a lot of good moments with Don. Kind of had a little bit of a breakdown where he kind of took down, he's kind of always had, he has like this, this fake identity pretty much. And kind of in a big pitch meeting with Hershey Chocolate, he kind of revealed a little bit of himself, and it kind of made the meeting kind of went south from there.
Yeah.
So it was weird to see him kind of let a little bit, his coworkers and his company into like his real life. It was like it was a kind of like a jaw dropping moment.
How they got one more season? Or?
Yeah, next season will be it. Yeah, some.
Yeah, I lost track of that. I think about probably the second or third season when Don quits and goes out on his own.
Yeah, that's right. As you were saying, because they form a new agency. Yeah,
yeah, that's the last time. I need to start watching it again because I did really like it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was a good season, really good finale. They kind of set things up, or at least so you want, obviously you want to come back for the following season to see how they, where they pick up, because with that show you just never know what year or whatever, where they're going to pick things up, or how much time has passed between seasons, because like the guy, Matt Weiner, he never really gives any of those tidbits away.
Yeah.
As far, he's so like secretive with his plot lines and things like that.
What else has he done?
Before this, he was on, he was a writer and producer on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because actually, I was shocked because he tried to pitch the show to HBO and they passed. And you would have thought with his Sopranos pedigree, they would have eaten it right up. But they,
I'm surprised. Yeah. And now they're kicking themselves in the foot that they passed
on. Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, it would have been better on HBO.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's always tough. I can imagine being like a network head and you pass on a show that becomes an instant hit like that.
Yep.
And even worse when you, you know, greenlight a show that gets canceled within a year or something. It's,
yeah.
It's got to be tough. I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be a tough job, but at the same time, I mean, just us, just general viewers, you can tell what's good and what's bad when you're watching it.
Absolutely. And what do you think about Mr. Soprano passing away, too?
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about that last week. That was, it was just on my computer, and I think I was on Facebook, and someone said that TMZ was reporting that he died of a heart
attack.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, like I said, you know, 51 years old, it's not old at all.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate your life a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was definitely, because James Gandolfini, just, you know, on that show especially, just, he was such a great actor.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, I liked him in other movies, too.
Exactly. I said, yeah, I mean, he's been very good in everything he's done.
I think he had a pretty young kid, too, which really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very sad to hear, too. But yeah, I know one thing I heard commonly about this Tony Soprano character from a lot of different people were saying that he made a guy that, you know, was a crook and killed and cheated on his wife, and you still somehow rooted for him when you're watching the show.
Yeah, and he was one of the first, you know? And it was, I think that season or the whole series was pretty groundbreaking because after that, you know, look what happened.
Yeah.
You got the Dexters, you got the Breaking Bads, you know.
Everyone kind of
took that formula and rolled with it.
The anti-hero,
And now there's tons of great shows based around that formula.
Yeah, the this lead character is totally flawed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I really was. I like The Shield with Michael, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing it took him that long to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, because before, I mean, most time, you know, the leading person was someone you rooted for, was, you know, wholesome and good and everything like that. So all of a sudden you have this show with this, you know, this violent mob boss, but somehow you still find yourself, you know, rooting for him.
It was definitely
a good way to turn.
I still don't think it works in the movies yet. People still want to see a good ending in the movies.
Sure, yeah.
But a series like that, they're fine with the lead character being flawed. I think I remember. You remember when that movie, The Breakup, came out with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, yeah.
They had two alternate endings, and one of them was like just a horrible breakup at the end.
Yeah.
And I think they did like a pre-screening viewing, and it just completely flopped, and everybody hated it. So they had to alter the ending.
So it was just them kind of. They had a nice like kind of meet and greet on the street, and it was
So there was the potential of them, you know, reuniting after that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the initial take was, you know, they just had a horrible breakup and there was no chance it was gonna last.
Yeah.
Which is reality.
Exactly, yeah. You know? Yeah.
So but everybody likes to watch the happy ending.
I think so. I think with movies, I guess it's more of a sense that you have just those like 2 hours or whatever, and if people are gonna invest their time, they wanna see a nice, clean, tidy ending. Where TV, you can kind of tell a story over 6-7 years.
Yeah, and we touched on that, too. It's not even a happy ending. I just thought they're paying, you know, 2 hours to escape reality, and they want to think good thoughts or be entertained.
Sure, yep.
Hence why that Fast and Furious movie was...
So successful, yeah.
So successful. I actually just watched Fast 5.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And it was entertaining.
Oh, absolutely,
It wasn't a horrible... I mean... It was a horrible movie,
yeah.
But
not a horrible viewing experience. Yeah,
it was not a bad viewing experience. It was fun to watch, and it's just Paul Walker and Vin Diesel are got to be the worst actors on this planet. I mean, you lump him with like you pick those two and Keanu Reeves. I don't think you can get much worse.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, and they've all found a way to make
tons of money.
Yep.
Tons of money. And you're sitting there thinking, seriously, I can't do this?
Yeah, I feel like you take a couple drama classes, you know, you get yourself a decent agent, and you think you'd be okay,
yeah.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should go to acting school for take a low-level drama
Except
class.
Except I don't look like Paul Walker is the problem.
Too, yeah.
Or Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if I worked out in the gym for the next 2.5 years.
That's the thing. I guess it's like, you can give, you know, it's easier to make a handsome guy a so-so actor than to, you know.
Yeah.
You can't make a so-so actor or a good actor handsome. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think Keanu Reeves is the real question. I mean, he's not ugly, but he's not like an overly attractive hunk like a Channing Tatum type dude.
Typical leading man.
Yeah. So, but he made it work somehow.
He did,
he made a boatload of movie on those Matrix movies.
He did. I think that was, I think Will Smith said that's one of his only regrets, I think he said, that was passing on that
role. I cannot believe he passed on that. And yeah. And he's thanking that Will Smith passed on that role.
Absolutely, yeah, because that makes it, that made a ton of money.
But it was a perfect fit. He didn't have to talk much. It was heavily action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so as long as you get a good storyline with a ton of action, you really don't need the Leonardo DiCaprio on the lead role.
Exactly, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe that's more his MO. It's just, you know, less lines, the better, more.
I did love Point Break.
Yeah,
amazing movie.
Yeah, my girlfriend was talking about that movie. I was I always bust her chops about it. Yeah, cause, yeah. But it, yeah, you're right. It's funny you said that, because that's basically the plot of Fast and the Furious. People always say Fast and the Furious is Point Break, but with cars.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah, it's such a great movie.
So I got to sit down and watch. I'll have to watch all those six of those. And
yeah,
because I thought I heard that the sixth one, they set it up, so there's a possibility of a seventh.
Oh, you have to do it after that. Why don't you make over $100 million in the first weekend?
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Although, I feel like that, I mean, those heavy action movies can't be that cheap to produce.
I don't think,
And they're destroying nice cars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's got to be a hefty production fee.
Yeah, I think so. I think they might save a little bit on the salaries, possibly.
Yeah.
Because no one's getting making like $20 million.
Yeah, so you get the C-grade actors and we blow more stuff up.
Yeah, you put your money into the production.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true, very true. And then, lastly, I just wanted to see, I think you said, was this the weekend you said you did some beer tastings?
Oh, I did a beer tasting, all right, Joe. Yeah, so I got together with my buddy, and he had got a bunch of IPAs together because one of his aunts actually said she didn't like IPAs, so this was our IPA beer tasting to convince her there's good IPAs out there.
There you go.
So we had a ton of great beers, and the one that stood out in my mind is, you know, I mentioned it last week, is Maine Brewing Company. They got a American IPA called Lunch, and it was just so delicious and crisp. And there's a beer by Russian River called Pliny the Elder. And it's consistently ranked one of the best IPAs in the world. And that's actually the thought in my mind when I sipped this beer. Pliny the Elder jumped right into my head. And I was like, wow, this is just as good, if not a little better. I couldn't imagine what it would taste like fresh. So I dubbed it the East Coast Pliny the Elder because Russian River's out on the West Coast.
Okay.
They're in California. So, yeah, I think they make great beer, and I'm actually going to Maine in a trip in a couple weeks, so we're going to stop by that brewery in Allegash, so I can do a little report on that. I'm
nice.
Pretty excited about it. Any other Dark Horse Brewing Company, these guys make some fantastic beer. Their Crooked Tree IPA is very, very good. They're based out of Michigan, so I think they've started distributing down around here. But if you see anything from Dark Horse on the shelves, definitely buy it. They do all sorts of types of beers, so very, very good. And then we actually went to Dogfish Head just to get some eats, and it reminded me of they basically started me in the craft brew world. I used to go down to the beach. They're in Milton, Delaware, which is near Rehoboth Beach, and they were the first time I tasted a beer, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know beer could taste like this. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
I just knew the Bud Light
stuff. Yeah.
But they have a 75-minute IPA. If you go to their brew pub in Rehoboth, they usually have it on cask. And it's basically their 60-minute blended with 90-minute, and I think they put some cocoa nibs and honey in it.
Ooh.
And it is absolutely delicious. So if you – they do bottle it now. At first, it was a brew pub exclusive, and it was only in casks. But now I think they bottle it in 22s. So if you see 75-minute IPA sitting out there, definitely give it a shot. It's another delicious IPA.
Nice. That sounds good. You know, if I swing by the their Gettysburg spot. And
I'm really excited to go to Maine and check out a couple breweries up there. We were reading about Maine for our trip, and supposedly they have the most breweries per capita out of any state and the country. So
interesting.
That was an interesting little tidbit. So it'll be definitely cool to go check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will look forward to a full report on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And then I'm sure I'll try a new beer this weekend so I can report back next week. I'll make sure that's one of my tasks.
Okay, yeah.
Shouldn't be too hard a task to complete.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give a few recommendations. Next week, got the holiday coming up.
Yeah, so that's always a nice task to have. Hey, make sure you drink a beer so you can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's worse work in the world, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's good stuff. So, yeah, it's been good. We're looking forward to watching that this afternoon, and we thank you for listening. Of course, you can always check us out check us out on Twitter at the GD Podcast, or feel free to email us at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. And for Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton, and we will talk to you next time.